Welcome to the My Name is Human Earth2.io podcast brought to you by Earth2News.com. I am Human Hagee.
And I am Human Kangi.
And I am Human Snoke.
And today we have a special guest, Earth2 Odyssey, also known as Walker in real life on Earth1. How are you doing today, Odyssey?
I'm chilling, man. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. You're the man of the hour right now. $50,000 purchase, but technically it's like a $65,000 purchase considering the property you gave up. So before we get into that, kind of tell us who Walker is, what do you do in real life, what got you into Earth2, and basically tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Walker. I am a 26-year-old individual. I'm going to college right now. So right after high school, I got out of high school and I went to the military for 5 years, did that.
Now thank you for your service, man.
Yes, thank you.
So now I'm out of the military on the GI Bill and studying to be a teacher. So we'll see how that goes. I'm planning on going to grad school in the fall. And so I'm going to be moving from, currently I'm in Virginia. I'm going to be moving from Virginia to Texas. So.
What grad school are you going to go to?
University of Texas.
Oh, in Austin?
Yeah, in Austin. So
nice.
I'm out here in Virginia. I was telling you guys before the show, I'm out here in Virginia. I don't really know anybody out here outside of the one person that brought me here. So I'm going to be moving to some family. So I'm excited about that.
So when did you first find out about Earth2 and what compelled you to put some money into it?
So I found out on New Year's Eve. I didn't find out about it the way that most people found out about it. I think most people found out about it through Facebook or TikTok or Instagram, and the ad campaigns going, their soft marketing campaign. But I actually found out about it through Quora. So it was just a cryptocurrency, just some blogger on Quora, and he wrote about Earth2. So I was super into the concept of the metaverse, super into the concept of virtual reality. So when I read about that, I was immediately sold because I hadn't heard of anything even remotely like what they were trying to do. So yeah. So I guess New Year's Eve, New Year's, I joined Earth2.
And how long did it take before you made an investment?
Like the first 4 hours.
And what was your first purchase?
I think the first purchase was Hank's house from Breaking Bad.
Oh, smart. Nice.
I had the wrong concept of Earth2. I thought it was going to be basically like trading cards. I thought it was very NFT-like, where it's just collectibles.
Yeah.
And kind of like what V Park's trying to do. You just go somewhere, it's a 360 view, and you kind of just hang out with friends. But obviously, we think Earth2 is going to be a lot more than that. But at the time, I was just buying like Breaking Bad locations, random TV show. Like I bought the Friends house, I bought New Girl. I don't know.
Do you still have any of those, or did you get rid of them?
I still have them all. I can't get rid of any of them. I try.
All right. One more question. One more question before I let Kangi start digging into you. What made you get into doing content creation and doing your YouTube channel? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I started the YouTube probably mid-January. And at the time, there were a decent amount of YouTubers out there. There weren't a ton, but I was watching these videos and I was having trouble. As you guys know, Earth2 has a really steep learning curve. So I was having trouble finding the basic guides, finding like an all-in-one package of sorts. So looking for that, I couldn't find it. So I figured, you know, why not make it myself? And at that point, it was really hard to do. I didn't know much about Earth 2. So it kind of had a twofold theory behind it, which was, you know, educate others, provide a place where others can find detailed analysts, analysis, detailed speculation, kind of well-founded speculation, not just this grandizing concept of Earth 2, and then also educate myself. That was the other thing. It was like, okay, if I want to put more money into this game, I should at least know it. I should know it like the back of my hand. So that was the other reason for starting the YouTube.
Right. In order to make good content, you know, sometimes you've got to really dig in and learn a lot more about it. But you mentioned your early investments sort of having kind of a maybe modern pop culture, maybe television sort of theme to them. But very recently, you launched considerably up the leaderboards with two significant purchases that differed quite a bit, I think, from those early purchases. And for those who are not aware, Walker purchased some, I'll let him describe them more, but very important tiles in both Russia and China. So can you tell us a little bit about the two major purchases you made and what inspired you to buy those properties?
Yeah, so I think the story would go back to like early February. In early February, I got offered Vatican tiles for about $40 a tile. And I thought that that was insane. I thought that this guy was trying to gouge me. And I told him, you know, screw off. No, I'm not. Fast forward to March, you have the Monaco fiat, like the Monaco FOMO, where everybody's buying Monaco and these Monaco prices are going up, up, up. So I'm starting to become more and more convinced while I'm in Earth 2 that high or big ticket, high profile properties are going to often go for more. They're going to go for a lot. And you see a lot with Monaco, you see with the Vatican. So fast forward to Hazy getting his Vatican property. And I realized at that point, I'm like, you know, that's a good deal because I was looking at the other Vatican properties and it was hard to find any tiles for under 200 or any properties for under $200 a tile. So,
and I did seven for $1,250.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was like $180 a tile. Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw Hazy's purchase on that. And at this point, I mean, if you've seen my profile, I already had a lot of money in the game. I had about 30,000, I think, total in the game. But I still wanted to up my position. I was trying to figure out what the best way to do that was. And at some point, I became convinced it was through high-profile properties. I had some really good properties, I thought. I had the Tokyo Olympic Stadium. I had the Brazil Olympic Stadium, both the opening and closing ceremony. So I had some top tier properties, but I didn't have like one of the S tier properties, one of the ones that are going to be some of the most desirable down the road. So I wanted to spend more money and I was looking at the Vatican, and that's where I originally started to talk to Hazy about the Vatican.
And we made a very lengthy negotiation, but we did make a deal.
Yeah.
And we traded four properties for my Vatican.
Yeah. And that deal was, I felt like Hazy was pulling my leg that entire time. He was squeezed for all I had. And I'm like giving away thousands of tiles of good properties for seven tiles or eight tiles, whatever it is. So that's when I realized like the innate human desire for scarcity, for exclusivity. And I thought, yeah, I want some Vatican myself. So I think it was Lloyd that I was talking to, and Lloyd said, you know, some people are talking about doing a syndication on the big Vatican property. So this is the 500 tile property within the Vatican that has the St. Peter's Basilica. It has the big square. I'm not sure what the
Sistine Chapel.
Yeah. So, yeah, Lloyd told me about this syndication, and I just thought, you know, I've been wanting to pin money into Earth too. I've been wanting to make some sort of high profile purchase. I was not planning on putting 50,000 in. That was not in the cards originally, but I was planning on doing something. And then I thought, I really think that this Vatican property is the best in the game. So I decided to make a move on it, and I put in $25,000 into my Earth 2 account. My bank was blocking the additional $25,000, so I had to wait a couple of days. Eventually, I got that. So I had the 50.
All right, I have to interject real quick because this is the question that's been on my mind. How does a 26-year-old enlisted military member get 50K liquid cash like that?
I think the first thing, the most important thing is that I've remained frugal over the years. I haven't lived above my means, but like, I'm not some guy who invested in crypto in 2011 or anything like that. I'm not just stacked, but I've made some good investments with crypto, with stocks, with one of my buddy's technology startup companies. So I've had some luck in certain things, but overall, I mean, it's just, you know, not blowing money on stupid crap.
Why are you talking to me like that, Walker?
Here we are sitting around the campfire talking about not blowing money on stupid crap buying pixels, right?
Yeah. I was going to say that excludes what we're discussing.
All right.
Right?
All right. So we know. I'll just cut the story short. You went to go buy the Vatican and it was bugged. So tell us what happened after that. Just a real quick summary.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the details of exactly what happened, but there was some correspondence with the devs, and I filed the ticket. I think this was Tuesday night. It was late into the night on Tuesday night. I filed the ticket with the devs. I talked to the devs, and they were looking at unbugging this property. So this was a similar issue that some other people were running into in the Vatican. Some other people, I think it was Willie Malik, had this same issue. I think Lloyd had this same issue with the Vatican property. So I don't know if it's something that's going on within the Vatican or whatever, but this talking with the devs, they said, yeah, we could clear the bids right now, but let's look at ways that we can fix this issue. So, like, there's obviously an underlying issue here. So they looked at it for a couple days, and I wasn't hearing much back. And they ended up clearing it, but we didn't coordinate it. And I think what ended up happening was Easter Love, who had a $20,000 bid on that property, he got his bid returned to him. And I think that this was a sleeper property, meaning the person who owned that property was not an active player in the game. So they weren't responding to people's bids. So Easter Love suddenly gets his $20,000 back immediately. And I don't know what made him pull the trigger, but he pulled the trigger with the 50,000. And that was within 30 minutes of me getting the message from the devs and me seeing that message and attempting to purchase it myself. So within a 30-minute time frame of them clearing the bids to me attempting to purchase, Easter Love made that purchase.
And especially with him already sitting on it with a 20,000 bid for so long.
Yeah, so he got that email saying your bid has been declined or something like that. That kind of triggered him.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what all went into that, but I was super mad. I was kind of playing the victim for a little bit, not going to lie. But
yeah, we saw that a little bit in our private chat.
Yeah, I was really bummed. I thought I think it is by far the best property in Earth 2, because it's not just you know, one of the probably top three most visited places in the world. It's not just that. It's also in a place that only has 2,500 tiles.
Yeah, the scars, you are going to have 20% of the Vatican.
Yeah, basically. So that was super tough. And that one, I think that property has a much lower floor than what my current two properties have, because that one you could just subdivide. And you can almost guarantee if we could subdivide today, Easterlove, I'm pretty sure, could split up that property and make four times his money.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Yeah, definitely.
But it didn't work out. So, but I think that the properties that I ended up getting, I am super pumped about. I think that they are both some real winners.
So kind of tell us your thought process after you decided, okay, didn't get the Vatican. I'm not going to withdraw this money. I'm going to look for something else. Kind of what did you decide to go after, and how did you decide that it was these two properties that you were going to acquire?
Yeah. So I think with Meta said it best. He said something like, if you have money in your account in Earth 2, you're going to spend it.
Very much true.
Yeah. So I had this 50K, and I was kind of, you know, I was also mad about the situation because I took out money from other investments and I got short-term capital gains on money that I otherwise planned to keep in there for a long time. So I was thinking, man, I just lost thousands of dollars doing this transfer that didn't end up working out. So I kind of use that as another justification, like, well, the money's already in here. It's already been taxed. It's already touched your bank account. So I ended up starting to search for more properties. And I was talking with you guys through this whole process. You guys were like kind of my grievance counselors.
Sounding board.
Moan, yeah. But I was going through different properties and I was making some bids on some stuff. I made a bid on the Eiffel Tower. I made a bid on Angkor Wat. I made a bid on, I forgot what else, but then I ended up running into Julepa. I'm not sure how you pronounce, I guess it's a her, Julepa. I'm not sure how you pronounce her name, but I ran into Julepa's profile and it is stacked. It is really stacked. So I started looking at, like, okay, this one person is an active player within Earth 2. There's plenty of other stacked profiles out there, but they're user 5, 6, 7, 8. Don't ever check the game. So I talked to Julepa before. So I reached out to Julepa and I thought that if I could make a bundle purchase, I could probably get a better deal than if I was just bidding on one-off properties. And there's no guarantee that the Eiffel Tower person is ever going to hit me up, the Angkor Wat person. It was the Taj Mahal. That was the other one. There's no guarantee that any of those people will get back to me. So I started talking with Julepa, and the two properties that I really wanted were the Kremlin, were the Forbidden City. I think that those two are really, I mean, they have a lot going for them, and we can get into that. But I started talking to Julepa, and that's when I made the decision to pull the trigger on him.
Yeah, one thing that's really interesting about that Kremlin plot is it's actually like almost 2,000 class one tiles, right? It's a massive plot purchased from like early November that exceeds what we're supposed to be able to purchase. But yeah, and then the Forbidden City is also more than 750 tiles too, correct?
Yeah, like almost 900.
Yeah, that's something interesting. I've heard people talk about that these larger properties won't hold any extra benefits, that potentially they'll actually somewhat be hindered by their size because their resources and essence might be capped. I think this is all speculation, but
everything is speculation.
Right at this point.
Exactly. And I think that regardless of if that happens, I'm not buying these properties for the essence and the resources.
No.
So,
for the advertising revenue. Go ahead, Snoke. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you just said that you weren't going to buy these properties for that reason. What are your plans with those two properties?
So, I guess, like, in a very generalized sense, one of them I want to be a retail option, retail provider. And then the other one I have a service in mind. But again, I'm keeping a lot of my stuff close to chest, my in-game business ideas. But these are probably two of the only properties I plan on really going after an in-game business on. I have a lot of other properties that I'm looking to do different things with, but I think that most of my business aspirations within Earth 2 are off platform. These properties for me were super enticing. They in China and Russia, I think, are both going to be top 10 countries. I think that China is really going to be interesting to watch, to see if the game picks up in China.
Yeah, it's like I was saying, I don't remember who I told this. China has more risk, but the upside for China is massive. If China embraces Earth 2 instead of banning it, the sky's the limit on that property. It's going to be worth more than that Vatican property.
I agree on that. And I hope they don't ban it, or they try to make their own metaverse, because that's another option that could potentially happen too with China.
It is really interesting to see the population in China and where its per tile prices compared to some other nations.
Exactly.
It seems, you know, inevitable that aside from this, you know, possible risk of, you know, Chinese government not necessarily embracing Earth 2, you know, outside of that risk, it seems like it has a lot of room for growth. And the Forbidden City is also interesting because it's in the name. not the easiest thing to get into, right? So,
go ahead.
Oh, no. No, you go ahead.
So that's kind of my thing with China. That was my escape plan, or kind of my contingency if China does end up blocking. I don't think ban is the right word. I don't think they ban things. I think they block them. But sure. If they do block, if they do create a clone, their own metaverse of sorts, the Forbidden City, it's one still a global attraction. So it always has its status as, I think, the most visited place in the world, the most visited attraction in the world. So it still has that, whether it's regional players or not, it's still desirable. And then it also, if they do ban it, then Forbidden City that people want to check out and people want to see.
The Forbidden City in the Forbidden Country. So why the confidence in Earth 2 compared to other metaverses like Decentraland or
Crypto Voxels?
I mean, why Earth 2 over those platforms?
So I'm not super well versed in most of these other ones. I knew about Decentraland when I came into Earth 2. I found out about Second Life while I was here. And then obviously we've had the knockoffs, budget Earth 2's coming up with V Park. I guess they're trying to be a little bit different, but then After Earth, and I think there's multiple others, but I didn't really know about any concept like this. Decentraland is very cartoony, so I knew about it, but it's very cartoony. It's very small, so it's the scalability issue with Decentraland. And so when I saw the idea of a geographically linked Earth, that is what I think will distinguish Earth 2 from any other potential metaverses. I think that sentimentality, the connection with the land, connection with I own the Kremlin or I own the Forbidden City.
Yeah, and that's something Jawad Khan talked about when we talked to him. that's the thing that'll make Earth 2 stand out compared to a place like Decentraland, which is just a basic user-created map. There's no personal connection. It's just, oh, I own some pixels. But with Earth 2, you mean like, I own the Forbidden City. I own the White House. You have that personal connection. And when people are doing augmented reality or virtual reality, that's really going to play an important factor, I think, in the future of what we're doing.
For sure. Yeah. So that was my main thing. I looked up Nathaniel. I looked up all the people, and I saw Nathaniel, his world composer stuff. And I thought, I didn't know that anybody else had done that. So I thought that this was like a mad genius. I mean, he is, but I thought like he created the first ever terrain model, and I was like blown away. So I think that Nathaniel is one of the, since I've joined, he's been one of the people that has given me the most faith in this project, because we don't know the roadmap of Earth 2. We don't know the white paper. They keep a lot of their stuff close to chest. You can read between the lines on a lot of the different things that they say, especially in general chat where they'll leak information, and you gotta keep an ear to the ground on that. But Nathaniel and his terrain trailer, that is where it really solidified Earth 2 in my mind, that AAA developers will be able to build out like their games on Earth 2. And that's kind of one of the main reasons that I've decided to re-up my investment.
I know you kind of talked about that in your latest video on YouTube, about like being like a sandbox almost for in Earth 2 games as well, right?
Yeah. I think that it will be potentially the sandbox for AAA developers, but I think on a smaller scale, independent developers across the world building out their own games, building out especially like unique arenas where there's all different types of competition formats, where imagine like Mario Party type of mini games, but Earth 2 and photorealistic. And I think that there will be like kind of when you play certain games, they have mods. I think that there will be so many unique variations of that within Earth 2 that will really keep the game super fresh.
Almost just like Ready Player One, right?
For sure.
So recently, we talked a little bit about your YouTube channel. I did take Snoke's question, so I apologize for that, Snoke.
Oh, you're good.
But your most recent video was regarding Tony Mary and kind of his 50-50 role with Earth 2. What does that ownership split mean to you, and how did you find out about this?
So I found out about it through the Kraken. That's about as far into the details as I'll go, just because it's public information. So there's nothing, nobody was poking around with insider information or anything like that. But I'm just the person who led me on to that wants to remain anonymous. So I will grant their wishes with that. But as far as what I think about Tony Murhi, I think I didn't articulate my thoughts very well in that video. I think that sometimes you get a little trigger happy, and I trigger on that video before really going over editing it, adding in additional thoughts. But I think in that video, I might have come off as a little scared about, I think that I'm nervous about the transparency, and I'm nervous about that we should have known about this. The website should be just updated more frequently with general hirings. But I think that Tony Murhi brings some credibility to the project. I think that he is probably a pretty good bargaining chip when they're talking with different businesses, different potential partners, that you have, here's a real estate mogul. And I don't know what his net worth is, but if he's managing the development of over $1 billion worth of property, I mean, you're talking about a super well-off dude who, if you Google him, you see that he has a lot of connections to Australian politicians, that sort of thing. So I think he brings credibility. And I have since talked to Shane about this, and I didn't really know the best form to reveal this, but, and I think he's going to make a statement, but Tony Murhai is 100% confirmed a silent partner. So he is not involved in any of the day-to-day decisions. And that's another one of the things with the publishing.
So basically an angel investor.
He's an angel investor. Yeah.
Yeah.
And with publishing that video, I feel like a real dingus because I didn't do enough basic research on what business arrangements can be. I did specify that I don't have all the context here. Potentially Tony Murhai is involved in any decisions, but I felt like I should have more emphasized that. But
that's all right. We'll forgive the investigative journalist of YouTube Earth 2 this one time.
I mean, ultimately, you're somebody that's just a, you know, not concerned investor, but an interested investor that, you know, wants to be as informed and educated as possible on where their money is. So I don't think there's anything unfair about that.
Yeah.
Especially and, making a $50,000 deposit.
Right.
people ask me, like, the next day, they're like, didn't you just make a video about, like, like kind of pooping on Earth 2 or just saying, like, what are you doing, Shane? And then the very next day, I think with this Shane, like Shane told me that, yeah, it is a totally silent partnership. So he said that him and Tony are friends outside of Earth 2. They knew each other before Earth 2, and they have similar interests with the direction of Earth 2. So I think that that clears any uncertainty there, but he should definitely make a statement on it. I think that was my most popular video I've published by a long shot. Which
yeah, I noticed the view numbers.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a giveaway.
Well, I was planning to ask a different question here, but since we were talking about your view numbers and, you know, I want to keep this as Earth 2 focused as possible. So I apologize, Hazy. I'm going to steal your question, but I know that you're working on something, Walker. You've got a project in the works actually sort of related to Earth 2, your own sort of business idea that I know you don't want to share everything that you have planned, but I want to lob this up for you to tell us a little bit more about this new website that you're launching.
Yeah, so Earth 2 Reviews is the website, and it hopes to be a freelancer marketplace, similar to Fiverr, similar to Upwork, similar to Angie's List and even Airbnb. Those are all freelancer marketplaces, just offering different services. So I think that this idea came about by reading between the lines that we were talking about, how we don't have the roadmap, but I wanted to look at Earth 2 from a very analytical view, from a view of a futurist, of somebody who sees what the metaverse could evolve into. And I think that to build the metaverse, it is going to take, more than an entire village. It's going to take Definitely. A lot of professionals. It's going to take a lot of time, a lot of skills to be able to develop it and to polish it and to customize it and to upkeep it and to provide the services within this metaverse. There are so many different things that will go into that. And then I'm also thinking about, we have all these tiles. As early investors, I don't think Earth 2 is made for us. Because once we get resources, once terraforming is introduced into Earth 2, there is going to be so much work just for a couple properties. To be able to build out your properties, to be able to gather the resources, it is going to take a lot of work. And we don't know what the MMORPG aspect of Earth 2 will be, but I know that if you have more than 50 properties, you're probably not going to be able to touch half of them. That's my opinion on it.
I was just gonna hire my stepdaughter.
Free child labor. So that was the underlying thought behind Earth 2 reviews, that I will need skilled people for any sort of business idea that I have, whatever it may be. If I have creative aspirations in Earth 2, I think that I'm going to need some help. So I also know that there's a lot of skilled people in Earth 2. There's like one of the reassuring things about being in the Earth 2 community is seeing how many smart people are around here, just lurking around, just these people with super professional jobs, these people who are computer whizzes. And if they have faith in this project, it gives me, you know, it lets my numbskull, you know, pat himself on the back. So I wanted to be able to pair these skilled individuals in the community who I know can offer services right now and will be able to offer a lot more services once the game actually is more than just buying and selling land and promoting your brand, whether it's a mega city or your YouTube or your Twitch. So that was the initial goal, just to build a place where the community can seek out services from others within the community.
So what type of people are you looking to attract to offer services on Earth 2 reviews?
So right now it is a phased rollout. So I think there are...
Gee, that sounds familiar.
I was about to say that. Shoot.
On delays. So the phased rollout is, I think there are 30 services that in total, and 25 of them are coming soon. So they, we only have 5 services listed on the website. I say we. It's a sole proprietorship.
The royal we.
Yeah. Me and Earth 2 Odyssey. We.
Yeah.
Alter ego. But yeah, so there are 5 services currently on the website. So it's kind of a question of who I'm looking for now versus who I'm going to be looking for in the future. Right now it is instructors for beginners. It is logo designers. It is website designers. It is mega city marketing campaign managers and video trailer producers. So this is, again, it's not much more than Fiverr right now. I think that, and it's a lot more limited. You don't have as many options as Fiverr, but it is people in the community and it is people that know Earth 2. But as I said, the game is still in its infancy. We can only buy and sell land. There's not much to building out the metaverse yet. So the website is mainly just tailored to people who are either new to the game or people who are seeking to build out their brand. So whether that be mega city people, mega city leaders, maybe just individual cities or clans, YouTubers, people who are streaming, people who have podcasts. So that's the market right now, and it's a limited market. So the website is in its testing phases. So we're working out the kinks. I'm updating the website constantly when I see improvements that are necessary. But down the road, like who I'm looking for down the road, that is a totally different story. I think that there are so many in-game jobs that are going to be necessary. So this is definitely a long-term vision. It's not super efficient right now, but I think even as soon as they introduce blueprints, if blueprints are what we think they are, if blueprints are you build out a building model within the Earth 2 building model creator, something like we saw from Drone, the video game, some of Nathaniel's previous work. If you have some sort of in-game builder like that, and you can get very tailored, and people can build out these really intricate designs then I already think that the market for Earth 2 reviews is going to grow exponentially with something like that. Because then you can hire out somebody to build your blueprint for you. So you can have the most attractive building within Earth 2. So,
yeah, I think that that's what's really going to separate your website from something like Fiverr is how specified it is. You know, it's really geared towards people within a certain platform, and it's, you know, the folks that are actually going to be creating content for them, or, you know, creating blueprints for a building, ultimately those are going to be people that are also familiar with the platform. So on both ends of the business deal, I think that, you know, you're getting way out in front of this, and it's going to forge much more, I think, productive relationships than something that's as broadly marketed as something like Fiverr. So I'm really excited to see, because I personally, and I know that Hazy, maybe Snoke, we're learning more about you. Maybe you're more creatively inclined, but I'm not very artistically gifted. So when it comes to things like, you know, whether I wanted to do tile art or certainly in-game design, I think I'd be going to your website probably. First things first, let's see what Walker's got.
Yeah. And that's the hope. I think that there will be so many specializations within Earth 2 that, yes, if Earth 2 does become the metaverse that we hope it to be, this totally revolutionary innovation, evolution within technology, maybe Fiverr does create their own Earth 2 category. The problem with that is if Earth 2 reaches that point, then there are 50 categories that will be necessary within Earth 2. So I think that overall, it will have a specific niche within the freelancer marketplace, and it will be a place where you will only be able to get certain services or find a broad variety of certain services within, hopefully, Earth 2 reviews.
Yeah, so I have a hard-hitting question here, Walker, because that's what I do. Are you going to vet the people that sign up to offer services on your site, or are you just going to let anyone sign up? And if you do vet them, kind of tell us what you're going to be looking at and what kind of quality of person you're going to be recruiting to offer services on Earth 2 reviews.
Yeah, so basically I approve every submission for a job within Earth 2 or for a service that somebody is offering within Earth 2 reviews. So every job I'm already examining and seeing, making sure one, it doesn't look like a scam, making sure two, like they have some baseline information so people know what they're buying. It's kind of difficult though. I think it's this, the same issue that Fiverr would run into, which is you're trying to figure out who is legitimate, and you're trying to figure out who actually has the skill set that they're marketing.
So I'm assuming like Fiverr, the customers, they're going to be able to rate the creators.
Right. Same with E2 reviews. You'll be able to rate. So if somebody scams you, one, I mean, you file a ticket and I'll take care of that. But two, it's if somebody does a crappy job, you can give them a one star. And right. Enough bad reviews,
no one's going to buy.
Well, yeah, and I kicked them off the website.
So how is payment collected? How is this monetized? And are you basically the third party collecting payment and then issuing the payment to the provider?
Yeah, so all payment is handled through PayPal. So we don't store, say we again, I don't store any credit card information. I have really gone as far as I possibly know how to go with trying to protect the users on the website. I knew if I wanted to do anything like this, that this wasn't something to take lightly. So I hired legal representatives. I got terms of services written up. I have privacy policies, cookie policies. And I decided to do the payments all offline, all through third party, because that was another thing that I am just a very new website. You have to convince me to trust you before I trust you. So doing it through PayPal was how I decided to go. And right now people pay for their service. They find the service that they want. They pay through the service, through PayPal. That money is held in escrow by me through PayPal, doesn't touch my bank account. And then when that service is returned to that individual and they click accept, they say that I have gotten the service I requested, then that money is sent back to the freelancer.
So they don't receive payment until they're done with the task.
Right.
That's good. At least.
And what's your percentage? How much does their two reviews get?
There is a freelancer fee and then there's a buyer fee. And so Fiverr is doing a 25 split. That's 20% commission on the freelancer, 5% on the buyer. And I'm doing a 15-5.
Okay.
It's going to be 15% freelancer, 5%. And that's subject to change. I don't plan on upping that or anything, but that's terms of services, everything subject to change. So
definitely. So real quick, have you had anyone actually apply to be a freelancer yet on it?
Yeah, I think we have 15 job postings so far, which, you know, it's pretty cool. Yeah, you build it, they will come. Only 15 of them, but I'm happy with where it's at right now with the activity within the game. It's pretty dead right now, so.
Yeah, I mean, 15 postings, and we're not even in phase two yet, so, you know, yeah. It'll grow exponentially with the game growing, I'm hoping. I'm thinking. My money's riding on it.
So for people, for people that want to sign up, what kind of people are you looking for right now, and how would they go about signing up?
Yes, yeah, so that is anybody, if you're looking to buy services, then it's anybody who is a mega city owner. It's anybody who is a YouTuber, anybody who has website needs they need to design. As far as skilled freelancers, we're going for logo creators, website designers, trailer video producers, megacity marketers, and beginners for instructors. So expert earth to.
And do they just go to the website to sign up to be a creator, to be a provider?
Yeah, it's super simple. It's going to be, you visit e2reviews.com, you go up, you hit sign up, and you can sign up as a freelancer or a buyer, but you can switch between. That step is kind of arbitrary if you get rid of it. But you can switch, you can be a freelancer on the website on the same account that you're a customer.
Okay.
You have to switch between, but there's a how-to guide for the website, and it should go over everything you need to know. If it doesn't, then let me know.
Well, you heard it there. We've got Walker on the line directly if you have any issues. So. on the video.
That's right, and he lives in my neck of the woods, or well, he will for a month at least. I can go find him.
So real quick.
Go ahead, Snoke.
I was just going to ask a question. I remember you said at the beginning of the call, you said that you found out about Earth 2 through Quora, through someone who wrote an article on there. Do you by chance know who that is, and do they know what you've accomplished so far in Earth 2?
No, that'd be hilarious. I could go back and find him, for sure. Because I used to read a lot of his cryptocurrency articles.
Mm-hmm.
Just did a one-off. He's like, you guys should check this out. So, yeah.
I wonder if he's the real Joker.
Right.
And you know, that's funny. Mignate, do you guys know who Mignate is?
Yes.
Yeah. He gets around. But so he's, I don't want to give away who his identity is, but he's a younger guy across the world. And what was it? He was telling me that he found out about it through Quora as well. And I think we read the exact same article. So we both came to the conclusion that if we get filthy rich off of this, we're going to like, we're going to throw that guy a party.
Yeah, right?
Nice. Some sort of finder's fee, yeah.
Like, thank you for inviting us to Earth 2.
Before we wrap things up, I almost forgot the listener question that was emailed to me, so I want to ask this real quick. Why do you think there hasn't been a big sale in the USA yet, and do you think that the prices that are being asked there for the landmarks are much higher? For example, the Bellagio in Las Vegas, $300,000. The White House is some ridiculous price. I don't even remember what it was. But do you think that's what the problem is for you? I know you were contemplating New York City and Times Square. Mm-hmm. But what do you think the hesitancy is with big USA purchases?
Well, I think most people are just pretty prejudiced against the U.S. Not in E1, in E2. And people, if they're like me, I think that there's a common sentiment that I don't ever look at U.S. properties on the marketplace. I just, even at 80% discount, it's not worth it to me. But the other thing about the U.S. is there are a lot, I mean, it's a giant country. And if you go to China or if you go to India, these are places with populations of 1.4 billion. In China, you can only go to Shanghai, and this is in Earth 2. You can only go to Shanghai and Beijing and actually find pretty populated Earth 2 tile population centers, right? Like where you actually see like a little mega city within these cities. And in India, it's the same thing. It's something in Mumbai. But there's only like one or two cities in these giant countries that actually have decent population centers in Earth 2. And with the U.S., because it's so spread out, there's so many different cities, there's not the huge draw of you buy the Kremlin and you have a whole mega city around you. Now, you see that in New York City, but check out New York City on Earth 2. Outside of like a small concentration in Manhattan,
yep,
isn't anything. So I think that that's one of the things that the U.S. has the Statue of Liberty. You have the White House. You have Times Square. You have Mount Rushmore. But I don't know. I think that all those locations aren't necessarily nestled with a ton of other people outside of maybe New York City. And then also it's just, I think that individuals who are selling those countries or selling those properties are asking for more because they're tacking on the USA price.
Yeah. So what do you think about a property like the, say, Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas?
Man, whoever gets that gets a steal. I'll tell you what. Congrats, man. That's huge.
I thought it was a steal for 6,000. So. But that, I think Las Vegas is one of the rare exceptions in the United States. It's like a New York City in the amount of foot traffic it'll get. And it is concentrated in a specific location, the Las Vegas Strip. So for me, it was one of the few places in the USA where I thought putting down a big chunk of change made sense.
Yeah,
that is true.
I 100% agree.
Well, Smoke and I are just going to be sitting on the sidelines with our measly, our measly triple and double digit purchases.
Because right.
I don't have any $6,000 or $50,000 purchases to speak of.
Yeah, I don't have any $50,000. Six is probably about my limit right now.
That's why we have guests on the show, right?
Yeah, exactly. I
people more interesting than me.
I just hope to be like Walker someday.
when you're all grown up.
When I'm the old man of the group, but yeah. So, Walker, we've become good friends over the past few months, and I've gotten to know you really well. So I thank you for coming on the show, for sharing with us the thought processes for your purchases, for E2Reviews.com. And is there anything else you want to add about things you're trying to promote, things you're trying to do that you'd like to share with the community?
No, I'd just say we were talking about this earlier, like literally like an hour ago, but I'd say to everybody, just be patient. This is, I think there's a delay on phase 2, and I think we're going to be sitting here for a little while longer. And I think we originally expected a long timeline. We expected a 10-year horizon to start actualizing any of these grand visions. But I think most of us expected a quicker phase two than what we're getting. But with a project like this, I think we need to get used to delays. And I think that unless something drastic changes, nothing has shifted away the trajectory of Earth 2. It's just delayed it a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'd say, you know, buckle up because it's going to be a long ride and it's going to be a bumpy ride. But obviously I am biased. I just put $50,000 into the game. So do your own research.
Snoke, anything you want to add before we wrap things up?
Nah, thank you so much for being on the show, Walker. We definitely appreciate it. And I agree with you on that, though. You know, just hold on because Earth 2 is going to be big. And it might be a year, it might be 10 years, but whenever that will be, we'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be podcasting.
I'll be on my walker. Pun intended. So, Kangy, how about you? What do you got to say before we wrap things up?
Not a whole lot more. Really appreciate Walker being on the show. And, you know, as he said earlier, it's always reassuring, I think, when you get to talk to people and hear from people that are professionals or successful in other walks of life, like show some faith in the project. So, yeah, super cool to have you on. And I'm definitely going to be using e2reviews.com because I know there's going to be multiple things that I could use some help on. So
we have to say it 8 more times before he pays us the $1,000. e2reviews.com.
You told me 1,000 pennies, so now I know I'm getting screwed here.
Okay. Well, Walker, Snoke, Kangy, for on behalf of the My Name is Human Earth2.io podcast, we thank you for watching us. Make sure you hit the like button. Subscribe, comment,
notification bell.
Yeah, I'm gonna remember all this one of these days. Do all that. We appreciate your support. The new site's coming along smoothly. We're doing a lot of exciting things. We're going to be all over the place in about a month. So thank you for staying with us. And until next time, Hazy out, Snoke out, Walker out, Kangy out.